News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. Your voice, your vote. I'm Dave Packer. As polls close, we have a new projection based on our exit poll. ABC News projects that Trump will win in Indiana and in West Virginia. And based on the exit poll and our analysis of the vote so far, ABC News projecting that Trump will win Kentucky and Harris will win Vermont. The race couldn't be tighter.
The Trump campaign has been laser focused on trying to mobilize people who typically do not turn out to vote in person on election day or early, especially young male voters. One person who has been helping with that, billionaire Elon Musk. He'll be with Donald Trump tonight at Mar-a-Lago.
ABC's Rachel Scott. Vice President Harris to watch the results at Howard University, her alma mater. She's going to be with her running mate, Governor Tim Walz, who will be there too. Digging into our preliminary poll, exit polls, the fears for an American democracy drove voters. It was a top issue among voters, bigger than the economy, even as close to half say their family's financial situation is worse today than it was 4 years ago. This is ABC News.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at ZeroInWisconsin.gov.
Wisconsin DOT.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Today, voters across the country will elect a new president. Voters will also be electing representatives to Congress and U.S. senators. In our listening area, voters will be choosing between incumbent Derek Van Orden or his challenger Rebecca Cook for Congress, and Senator Tammy Baldwin is being challenged by Eric Hovde. Around the state, there are a number of state Senate and Assembly races with the new legislative maps. As a result, voters in Richland County will be choosing a new state senator. Senator Joan Balwig was drawn into the district and faces a challenge from Sarah Kieski. In the Assembly, Richland County will now be represented by one representative. Current Representative Tony Kurtz, who has represented the city of Richland Center, is being challenged by Julia Henley. Voters will also be electing local county positions, such as county clerk, register of deeds, and county treasurer. There was one race in Richland County, and that is for register of deeds between Michelle Brown and Deb McCoy. Also on today's ballot, voters in 121 school districts will be asked yes or no on referendum questions. Districts are seeking a total of over $4.2 billion from local taxpayers for operations and facility projects. Locally, the Ithaca School District is asking voters to approve an operational referendum in the amount of $1.3 million each year for its duration of 4 years. As its name implies, revenue received via an operational referendum is used to meet the cost associated with operating the district, which may include attract and retain qualified teachers, Chromebooks for one-to-one instruction, access points to provide a reliable internet, connect.
The Packers trade Preston Smith. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports. The Packers sending linebacker Preston Smith to the Steelers for a seventh-round pick. Pittsburgh will also pay Smith's $3 million base salary. Baseball, more roster changes for the Brewers. First baseman Jake Bowers and pitcher Bryce Wilson will not return to the team, both becoming free agents. Pitcher Frankie Montez declining his option to return to the crew. Both he and Colin Ray also headed a free agency. The Brewers GM, Matt Arnold, has been named baseball's Executive of the Year. NBA, the Bucks losing in Cleveland, 116-114. Damian Lillard had 36 points. The Bucks off to an ugly 1-6 start.
Just because it's a 1-6 start, like you said, it's ugly. You know what I mean? But when you look at the big picture, you know, it's such a long season. It's 75 games left. I've been part of teams that have won 16 straight. You know, you just sometimes you just get in a ditch.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-40s. More clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. Sun's back for Thursday, a high in the mid-50s and upper 50s Friday. Some clouds and showers return Saturday, currently 57 degrees.
Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6 November 5th. And when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 107.7 WRCE and the Civic Media app.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker.
Liz Cheney, famous not Democrat, endorsed Kamala Harris for president.
I know that the most conservative of conservative values is fidelity to our Constitution.
Liz Cheney said that.
I tell you, I have never voted for a Democrat, but this year I am proudly casting my vote for Vice President Kamala Harris.
Patriotism above partisanship.
Listen to Rational Revolution with Mark Becker wherever you get your podcasts.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE. This is a special presentation from Civic Media News. From our Civic Media studios in Madison and across the state of Wisconsin, this is special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Here are your hosts, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back to Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election. I'm Pete Schwab, joined by Jane Matinair, and we're going to make another campaign stop. First, we want to say, just to remind people, we talked about this a little bit at the end of the last hour, but if you are in line before the polls close, they have to let you vote.
Yes.
And we, I guess, got some word that some college kids thought they'd run out of time or whatever, so they were leaving lines. So
don't leave the line.
Don't leave the line. If you have someone in college, try to get word to them, text them, social media them, whatever you have to do, but get them to stay in line and let them know that if they do, if they're in line, even when the polls close, they can vote.
Absolutely. Every vote matters. Your vote counts. Text your kids if they're going to college and you know they're voting today in person. Text them to stay in line. It's 7:07. Polls don't close till 8 o'clock. If you are in that line at 8 p.m., they have to allow you to vote. So don't get discouraged. You've waited this long, kids. Hang in there. You can wait a little bit longer.
Get it done.
Yep, yeah, get it done.
We're going to pop out to Civic Media correspondent James Kelly. He's in the 3rd Congressional District with candidate Rebecca Cook, who is getting ready for her watch party. James.
Hey, guys. How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I got to say, as a native New Yorker, it's pretty fun kind of living in the chaos of a Wisconsin election.
Where are you, James, right now? What city are you in?
I am down here in Eau Claire at a place called Dive Inside the Lismore, downtown Eau Claire. We're about half an hour away from the election watch party really getting started, but people are starting to trickle in so far.
Any sense from folks about how they're feeling? Any sense from the campaign about how they think this is going to shake out between Rebecca Cook and Derek Van Orden?
Well, I did speak to Rebecca Cook earlier today after she voted in Eau Claire, and the name of the game for her was pounding the pavement. After voting this morning, she said she believes her team and volunteers have left no stone unturned. She's been all over the district, consistently speaking with voters in their home communities. She's placed a major emphasis on turning out college voters. In fact, just visited 5 UW campuses today on top of voting. So as far as voter turnout goes, that campaign feels like they've done a lot of the work just getting people interested in their campaign and hearing their message and, you know, whether they vote for them or not. They've done the effort.
And she's got a really compelling story, I think, James, just that she grew up on a dairy farm. She's a waitress. She's from a working class background. You know, that's got to be a story that resonates when she knocks on doors.
Absolutely. And I think that's something that we saw in the primary back in August. We saw a huge turnout. Now, if you remember, Cook ran for Congress in 2022, fell about 5,000 votes short. to Brad Pfaff in the primary, and then Brad Pfaff went on to lose to Derek Van Orden in the general election. That 2022 primary saw about 62,000 votes total. This year, it was 84,000 votes in the 3rd Congressional District. Cook won over 50% of the vote in every county except Wood and Portage, which were Katrina Shanklin's home territory. And in La Crosse, she only won about 49.5% of the vote.
James, as I understand it, she closed a fundraising gap. She made really good strides there. Has she made an issue out of Van Orden's involvement with the January 6th incident?
Yeah. That's been a major staple of, okay. of her campaign and her messaging, just pointing out that, yes, Derek Van Orden was involved in the January 6th Stop the Steal rally. She's pointed out on many times just the way he's treated, you know, Senate pages in the Capitol and the incident with TSA. She's definitely not been shy about going after him over those things. But I think the main focus of her campaign has really been leaning into that farming background and that small business background to connect with voters here on a more personal level and say, hey, I know what you're going through because I'm going through the same thing.
Well, and certainly she's not going to come out and say, as one candidate did for our U.S. Senate seat, that she doesn't know what's in the farm bill because she's not in that job yet.
Yeah, and the farm bill has been a pretty major topic of conversation for the 3rd Congressional District. In fact, when Eric Hovde was here a couple weeks ago, I asked him about it. That was after the debate when he said that. I said, well, this is an important issue to voters in western Wisconsin, so why would western Wisconsin farmers trust you with their vote in the Senate if you don't know what's in the farm bill?
Yeah, exactly. James Kelly is with the Cook campaign. Thank you so much, James. We will be checking in with you throughout the course of the evening. The 2024 election, of course, is a major turning point for women's reproductive rights, also LGBTQ rights. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump are advocating for wildly different policies. Who could affect these voters and their rights for generations? We're going to talk now about women's reproductive rights, issues important to the LGBTQ community. Welcoming Michelle Velasquez. She's the Director of Advocacy and Services at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. And Patrick Faribault is the founder and publisher of Our Lives magazine. Thank you both so very much for joining us this evening. Patrick, let's start with you a little bit. There's got to be a lot of concern within the LGBTQ plus community should Donald Trump get elected. And when we see some of the campaign ads that have been run in Wisconsin really targeting and demonizing your community, that has to be an enormous concern.
Oh, yeah. I remember back in 2016, I had a chance to talk to one of the Prosser, the Supreme Court Justice Prosser. And I was trying to explain to him with the Ted Cruz campaign how many ads were trying to create this boogeyman out of the transgender community. And there was specifically this one black and white ad that showed what looked like very masculine legs and the bottom of a dress walking into a women's bathroom. And Prosser made me like back up the ad and check again because he was convinced that it was going to be a super PAC or something that had paid for it. And I just remember his shock when he saw that it was paid for by the Cruz campaign. Like, this has been something that they have done for, I feel like, as long as I've been alive, potentially longer.
Yeah.
And I am not young. But one of the things that I've tried telling younger voters recently is if you look at all the attack ads that are going on right now against the trans community, which it is one of the biggest spins that the GOP has been doing in their ads and
yes.
trying to create that boogeyman. And you can literally copy and paste from like the 90s, the word transgender with gay and lesbian. It's the exact same stuff that they've just switched to whoever the most marginalized
group is. They switched
the
target.
Yeah, exactly. So I've tried to tell everybody we're in this together. Don't think that if you are, gay or lesbian, that you were what is the expression? If you don't have a seat at the table, you're on the menu. That you're still on the menu. Marriage equality, I think, is still vulnerable and will be vulnerable. You know, the Wisconsin's constitutional amendment is still on the books. It's never been taken off. The amendment banning same-sex marriage. So
that's still on the books.
It is, and if they do overturn the Obergefell decision, I think that you'll see a very similar situation like you did with the abortion, the 1800s law.
1878.
Where that amendment will become active again. So
Well, and what's disturbing about that is that Justice Clarence Thomas has kind of hinted at that.
Multiple. Yeah. Samuel Alito has as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they've not been subtle about the fact that they want to revisit it.
Well, and that's something else to keep in mind. If you have not voted yet, you've got 45 minutes left here in Wisconsin. If you haven't voted yet, remember, if Donald Trump gets a second term, it's very likely that he will be able to appoint two more justices.
Yep.
He can, both Justice Alito and Thomas are getting up there in years, and I'm sure they would be happy to retire under Donald Trump and get replaced.
Forced to.
But get replaced by little carbon copies of them who are going to be in their 40s.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring Michelle Velasquez in. She's the Director of Advocacy and Services of Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. Michelle, do you have a sense of just how much the Dobbs decision a couple years ago has affected this year's turnout with women?
Yeah. Hi. First, thanks for having me. Nice to see you both again. I mean, the turnout in every election post Dobbs has been really incredible. Last year, Wisconsin had a Supreme Court election. I'm sure you remember quite well, spring of 2023, and abortion and reproductive freedom, and really the sort of bigger issue of these fundamental rights of agency and bodily autonomy, were front and center. And there was record turnout. I don't think that there's any difference in this fall. I think people are very motivated by this issue. This is front and center. I think that we will continue to see record turnouts. When abortion is on the ballot, it wins. That's just sort of, I think, evidenced not just in national elections, but in states that are, you know, having ballot initiatives, that have had ballot initiatives since Dobbs. When abortion is on the ballot, it wins and drives people to the polls.
And I think we're seeing that now with turnout, Michelle, and certainly from some of the reports that I'm hearing from people who have been eyeballing some of the lines and stuff at college campuses, a lot of young women, not as many men, and again, this is just observational, this is not scientific based, but they are seeing a lot more young women standing in lines at the polls. And I have been seeing some tweets coming out from the other side saying, not enough men are voting. Get men to vote. We need right. men to go out to the polls. Quick, send the men.
Yeah, I mean, this is really an issue, though, for everybody. You're right, Jane. This is also impacts young men. This impacts people of all ages. Even if you are not of reproductive age anymore, it just really impacts everybody. And I think that has been evidenced, you know, in the 2022 midterm election, in our spring Supreme Court election last year, and now this year. And there's just so much at stake. It's, you know, again, people's individual right to decide for themselves whether or not to become a parent, and if so, when, to protect their futures, to make the decisions for themselves and their families, because nobody knows anyone's circumstances better than the individual living it.
Absolutely.
Patrick, you talked about being, we talked about before about being demonized, the LGBTQ community, but the LGBT community makes up almost 8% of voters.
Yep.
At what point do the Republicans have to acknowledge that and court the vote instead of demonizing? Do you think that will happen?
Oh, man. So there's been a group called the Log Cabin Republicans that right. have been around forever. What percentage of the electorate they are, I think, is incredibly small. The challenge with that is that group alone is also, if you look at demographically, probably primarily overwhelmingly cisgender gay white men. So it's such a small slice that plays right into the demographics that Trump has been chasing. I don't know if the GOP is going to have a lot of luck going beyond that.
Certainly not.
Maybe they will, but not the current GOP.
We are talking to Patrick Farabaugh, the founder and publisher of Our Lives magazine, and joined by Michelle Velasquez, the Director of Advocacy and Services at Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin. We are going to continue this conversation. I hope you can stay with us. You are watching our special election coverage on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, Land of My Dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long-ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The kringle, wood violet, American water spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process can take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the kringle, wood violet, and American water spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so
point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best co-workers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinere and Pete Schwaba.
Good evening and welcome back to our special 2024 election coverage on Civic Media. I'm Jane Matinere along with Pete Schwaba. Thank you so very much for joining us. We are going to continue our conversation with Michelle Velasquez. She is with Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Patrick Faribault is here as well with Our Lives. But we want to check in and find out what's happening with some of the races going on in southwestern Wisconsin. Civic Media correspondent Joanne Krulatz is on the line. Joanne, joining us from our WRCO studios. What's happening this evening?
Well, you know, we're waiting on numbers like all of us are, sitting here twiddling our thumbs, just wondering how the evening's going to go. But and then I'm trying to find whatever I can. You know, I drew the straw to keep everybody updated on Van Orden, but, you know, he's been kind of a hard person to get any information on.
Gee, that shocks me. Not.
You know, I mean, I've gone to his website number of times and press releases. The most current one I can find is from May.
Wow, he's really felt the need to keep people updated on his agenda.
Joanne, what's the tightest race you're following right now in that area?
I would say, Orden and Cook.
Cook, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other big races that are of interest in that area?
Well, one, it's a school referendum. It's, we follow three school districts here on WRCO, and one of them is a small rural school, and they basically said that the future of the district lies on this referendum. So that's kind of really what is on the heart of everybody tonight.
Well, and that's an issue, unfortunately, that has become such a big thing for so many communities around Wisconsin. We have tons of school referendums on the ballot this time around, once again, because the Wisconsin State Legislature has not kept pace with funding our public schools. Another thing to keep in mind, if you still haven't cast your ballot yet, those down ballot races are very, very important.
Yep. It's not all about the president. It's all the things going down the ticket.
That's right.
Very well said. Joanne, thank you so much. I'm sure we'll be talking to you later in the evening. So have fun out there.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Right now, we want to bring back Michelle Velasquez. She's the Director of Advocacy and Services at Planned Parenthood Wisconsin.
Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin.
Okay, I've got it written down.
Also, right. Patrick Faribault, the founder and publisher of Our Lives magazine. Michelle, if, say, Kamala Harris would get elected, this doesn't take away the threat to women's reproductive freedoms, though, does it?
No, I mean, there still is so much at stake here in the States. And, you know, the person on the line, and I'm sorry, I can't recall her name, but mentioned the importance of the down ballot races. And those races are absolutely critical for protecting and expanding reproductive and sexual health care in this state. With the overturning of Roe, we have sort of different levels of care state by state, which has been just awful for people's health and has created a lot of confusion and chaos for providers nationally and certainly here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, there are sort of things that have to happen both at the state and federal level kind of at the same time to make sure that we're able to enshrine those rights in our own state law, but then, you know, have some national protections as well.
Well, and the last time that you were on Matt Nair on air with us, we had talked about, you know, Pro-Life Wisconsin, they want to get rid of birth control. That's absolutely on the table. Please don't be fooled that they're coming for birth control next.
Yeah, absolutely. This isn't only about abortion. This is really about full reproductive and sexual health care. So that includes IVF. That includes birth control. You know, you see other states trying to reclassify certain types of birth control as abortifacients, which they absolutely are not.
Right.
There are other states that are working toward, you know, fetal personhood laws, which would therefore be completely incompatible with IVF availability. So all of these things are on the table. And in the Dobbs decision, Justice Thomas was, you know, although I obviously do not agree with Justice Thomas, you know, he was at least honest about what sort of undoing Roe meant for other cases that dealt with birth control, that dealt with same-sex marriage, that are all sort of grounded in these rights of privacy. And so all of those things are really on the table. So in the presidential election, you know, it's not just about passing sort of restoring Roe, so to speak, in a federal right. It's really about like the administration choosing judges who are going to be hearing cases as they make their way through state and federal courts, determining whether or not state restrictions violate people's rights.
And Patrick, we have about 2 minutes left. We were talking about Obergefell and gay marriage, which now I think is very well accepted across the country. But they could come for that. They're going to come for that too.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, they've already said that they would be coming for it. And I wanted to say, like, even when Tammy Baldwin championed the Respect for Marriage Act, the language of that does not replace the Obergefell decision by any means. There's a lot of, like, it only fills small gaps, but it isn't a complete replacement. One of the things is that it would require Wisconsin or any state to honor marriages that were performed in a state that recognized that marriage at the time it was performed. So I think there's still a little gray area about what about Wisconsinites that got married when marriage was legal here, but then when the amendment, do we go back to being seen as unmarried?
That's all on the table. That is what we're talking about, and that's why we're having these discussions. Thank you both so very much. Michelle Velasquez is the Chief Strategy Officer for Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin, and Patrick Faribault from Our Lives magazine. Really appreciate you both taking the time to join us this evening. Thank you so very, very much. Our coverage continues. Stay close. If you're in line, don't leave. 30 minutes until the polls close, and if you're there when the line at 8 o'clock, stay in line. Your vote counts. This is Civic Media. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay with us.
News from the center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
4WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Coon Creek Watershed residents will have another opportunity to shape a plan for the Coon Creek Watershed this month. In the last of four public planning meetings, conservation nonprofit Coon Creek Community Watershed Council Incorporated has hosted this fall. The watershed plan, which follows the nine-element framework outlined by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, is meant to identify and address community concerns regarding the care and management of Coon Creek and its tributaries. The plan is a collaboration between Coon Creek Community Watershed Council, partners in La Crosse, Monroe, and Vernon counties, Valley Stewardship Network, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, and Coon Creek Watershed residents. The plan is being completed in two parts. The first part, which covers the Timber Coulee Subbasin, is on schedule to move into its implementation phase this June. The second part of the plan encompasses the rest of the Coon Creek watershed and will be completed over the next 3 years with support from a Wisconsin DNR surface water grant. The final meeting in this series will summarize the themes that emerge during community conversations. Coon Creek Community Watershed Council hopes the Wednesday meeting will inspire further discussion about priorities for the Coon Creek Watershed Plan and next steps in the planning process. One of these next steps will be using mapping tools like the Agricultural Conservation Planning Framework to identify opportunities for conservation practice implementation in the Coon Creek watershed. Material from past planning sessions is available on Coon Creek Community Watershed Council's planning webpage at CoonCreekWatershed.org. The meeting will be held at Coon Valley Conservation Club with dinner at 6, followed by watershed updates and a recap of the fall watershed planning sessions at 6:30. The meeting is free and all are welcome. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Martha Stewart might be dealing with a hangover due to her displeasure with her biopic Martha on Netflix. While promoting her new cookbook during an appearance on a game show similar to Family Feud, she took a shot at Ryan Reynolds. When asked which actors she would like to hang out with in real life, she listed George Clooney, her pal Snoop Dogg, and Brad Pitt, but made a point to say Ryan Reynolds is not funny in real life, adding that he is very serious. She also acknowledged her comments might not go over so well since the two are neighbors in real life. Despite the final season of Succession bringing Kieran Culkin his first Golden Globe Award, the actor has still not seen the series finale. In a recent appearance on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert, Culkin said he missed it because he was in Poland filming a movie and then went right to a vacation with his family. The actor told Colbert he knows what happens, but just sort of missed his chance. If only there was a way he could still watch it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Some showers around this evening, mostly cloudy tonight and a low in the mid-40s. More clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the low 50s. Sun's back for Thursday, a high in the mid-50s and upper 50s Friday. Some clouds and showers return Saturday, currently 57 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right-wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
Hey, do I rate?
You absolutely, I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Wisconsin Decides 2024. As the campaigning comes to an end and your ballot is cast, you'll find continuing coverage of this important election right here.
Special reports start at 6, November 5th. And when the polls close at 8, coverage of the presidential, Senate, and your important local races will come in from around the state.
It's your vote as Wisconsin Decides on November 5th, starting at 6 p.m. on 107.7 WRCE and the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will discuss election results. We will discuss whether or not we have election results. I hope you'll join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinere and Pete Schwaba.
This is Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election. Great to have you with us. I'm Pete Schwaba, alongside my fellow Civic Media host, Jane Matinere. Having a blast here, trying to keep you informed. So apparently, we just got word, states, this is CNN, states called for Trump so far, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Missouri, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, West Virginia, Florida, and called for Harris so far, Vermont, Massachusetts. I'm sorry. Vermont, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and Maryland. No big surprises there. Right?
No, those aren't really surprising at all. We, of course, will have continued coverage at 8 o'clock. Todd Alba and Pete Schwaba will be taking over our spots at the desk, and they will have many, many guests coming your way as well as the results continue to roll in from this election. We want to stop down right now, though, and check in with Civic Media correspondent Brittany Merlot. She is in the 8th Congressional District at Kristen Lierley's campaign watch party. Good evening, Brittany. What is the sense where you are?
Oh, good evening. Right now, the doors just opened and people are filling in right now. I would say they're expecting about 225 people to be here at the Gather on Broadway in Green Bay. And the vibe is actually outstanding. There's a lot of smiles. There's also a lot of anxiety, too. I was speaking with one man who said he took his anxiety medicine before he came out tonight. everyone is in good spirits, though. And Kristen herself is not here just yet, but I did talk to her son. And he was saying how she's feeling today is confident. She's confident, and that's good news. And I did talk to also a college students. There's actually a big group of college kids here right now who, you know, are younger, 18, 19, 20 years old. They've all voted and their energy is up and they're just really hoping that Lierley comes through with this. They feel confident in that as well. And it's all about that women's reproductive rights, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Brittany, that's my hood you're in, the 8th District. So this is exciting to talk to you there. I know that the last Democrat that held that seat was also a doctor, Dr. Steve Kagan. So I think Democrats that are doctors do well there. I understand she outraised Tony Weed. So have there been access to any polls or people pontificating how this race you think will go?
No, not just yet. Yeah. Like I said, this event just started, so we haven't had too much of that going on. But they are saying, you know, a lot of people are talking about how they had to vote twice, right? The general and the special election, because there's the
right.
vacant seat since Mike Gallagher, you know, stepped down in April. So they're kind of talking about that, how it's interesting that you had to vote twice, and they're kind of just all waiting at the moment.
Well, we will be checking in with you later on. That is our Civic Media correspondent Brittany Merlot at the Kristen Lierley campaign in Green Bay. Brittany will be joining us again later on this evening. This is a really wonderful piece. How the city of Milwaukee conducts its absentee voting comes under scrutiny during high-profile races. We know well about this. With voting already underway before today, hundreds of thousands of absentee ballots have been returned, including tens of thousands from the city of Milwaukee. Milwaukee counts the ballots in a single location. It's called Central Count, and they report the absentee ballot results all at once after the polls close.
And those results will come in into the early morning hours. The volume of ballots means that those votes can change the course of statewide elections when they are added to the total. In October, Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer had the chance to talk to Paulina Gutierrez, the new executive director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, to find out what we should be aware of as results are reported.
One of the most pervasive conspiracy theories surrounding Wisconsin's elections in recent years has involved what's been referred to as a late-night ballot dump. What this is mostly referring to is the reporting of election results from the city of Milwaukee. More specifically, this is about the reporting of election results from absentee ballots in the city of Milwaukee. Confusion and accusations of fraudulent behavior over this ballot dump or ballot drop has been around for a while, but reached new heights after the 2020 presidential election. Conspiracy theories about this have raged on in the years since, often in false or misleading ways on social media. Visually, people can see red and blue lines going up concurrently along an arc as votes are tabulated. And then there's a point where the blue line indicating votes for Joe Biden goes vertical and overtakes the red line for Donald Trump. This is the ballot dump. What's happening here is actually quite simple. It's the city of Milwaukee reporting the results of all of its absentee ballots all at once in accordance with state law. In the 2020 election, because of the larger number of absentee ballots that were used during the COVID-19 pandemic, these results were not counted and reported until after 3 a.m. local time. Milwaukee is the most populous city in Wisconsin by a significant margin, with more than 550,000 residents. It has nearly twice the population of Madison, the second largest city, and therefore there are a whole lot of votes to count there. Milwaukee uses a process called Central Count, where all of the ballots are tabulated and counted all in one location. But because of decisions made by lawmakers at the state capitol in Madison, election workers at Central Count in Milwaukee are not allowed to begin counting those absentee ballots until the morning of Election Day. This is not how things work in most states. Here's how Paulina Gutierrez, the new executive director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission, describes the process.
So basically what happens is all of those absentee ballots, so the ones that go by mail, the ones that go to the long-term facility, the ones that are used to vote at our early voting centers, all get collected into our operation center where they are stored in our secure ballot room. And in that room, we have specially trained staff who make sure that the ballot is legitimate, make sure that it's eligible. And then we start to sort them by ward and by last name, alphabetized by last name. We get them all organized as much as we can. We are one of only two states in the country that are not allowed to pre-process or open or touch the ballot until 7 a.m. on Election Day. So when we walk into our Central Count, we have all of the absentee ballots that have been coming to us since mid-September. And so for the presidential, it's tens of thousands of ballots, and we cannot touch them until Election Day.
So, because of its sheer size, Milwaukee will almost certainly be the last jurisdiction to report its results on election night in Wisconsin. The city of Green Bay also uses a central count, as do a few other municipalities around the state, and the results from absentee ballots in those communities are also reported all at once. And if you're wondering, the other state where election workers are not allowed to pre-process those absentee ballots that Gutierrez was referring to is Pennsylvania. Of course, another closely contested swing state. That's another factor to be aware of on election night as results are reported. Other states don't have that problem. Florida is one such state. Following reforms put in place after the 2000 election, Florida is one of the fastest states in the nation to report its results. And in an effort to address the issue of these late-night ballot dumps, one Republican member of the state assembly, Scott Krug, spent some time in Florida with the people who run their elections to learn about how the process works there. Here's what he told me.
So when an absentee ballot comes in the state of Florida, it's opened, it's processed, it's prepared, it's stored in the machine, the voter gets a ballot number. So basically, by the time you hit 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in Florida, you've got all the early votes processed and tallied and ready to be released for results. And the in-person vote is not very far behind it. So a state that's got three or four times the population, voting population of Wisconsin does, it's in the books, the election's in bed by midnight, right? I mean, it just kind of seemed like a gold standard after what we saw in 2020 come out of Milwaukee. You know, it's obviously it was COVID election, tons and tons of absentee ballots slowed down the process till about 3 o'clock in the morning. A lot of people had gone to bed, you know, 11, 12, 1 o'clock. One guy leading, you know, we wake up the next morning, the other guy took the lead, and explosion occurs in conspiracy theories.
Krug took over as chair of the Assembly Committee on Campaigns and Elections in 2023 and sought to address this in a bipartisan way, working with the ranking Democrat on the committee and with members of both parties in the Assembly and Senate. Krug said 90% of the problems we face in elections in Wisconsin are from this perception surrounding these late-night ballot dumps, and he made addressing this perception problem a top priority. So, the bill that was introduced in 2023, Assembly Bill 567, would have allowed clerks to process absentee ballots the Monday before Election Day. That bill eventually passed unanimously out of committee and passed in the assembly on a voice vote in late November of 2023. The governor signaled that he would sign it if that was the bill that reached his desk. But it never got there. Even though it was crafted in a bipartisan manner, passed overwhelmingly in the assembly with bipartisan votes, and became the rare bill that had the support of Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Democratic Governor Tony Evers, the bill stalled in the state Senate. The Senate's election committee, chaired by Republican Dan Knoedl, never allowed a vote on the bill. Krug said there were some political reasons that the bill might not have passed, but that's a story for another time. And you can listen to our full conversation as a separate podcast. But here's what Krug said about where this bill ended for this session and when it finished this past spring.
So this was a very long process, and in the end, unfortunately, didn't get through the state Senate. But I think we kind of laid the groundwork really well for what an early processing ballot could be. And I think, you know, in the future, it's probably going to be a little bit more than a Monday process, that we can get to the point where maybe closer to what Florida and 40 some other states do, where they process them a little bit earlier even than Monday. Whereas if an absentee ballot comes in, we open it, secure it, store it in the machine, everybody knows it's safe and secure. I think the only thing that's going to get us to that point, though, is an election that is non-controversial. So we're hoping, whichever way this one goes, it'll be a 1% or 2% difference to a 10,000 vote difference. So that'll help build some trust in the process, too.
Meanwhile, in Milwaukee, because the Wisconsin State Legislature did not make this change in the last 4 years, Gutierrez and the Milwaukee Election Commission are planning for another late night. She said they have scaled up their staff from between 70 and 90 people for a typical election to about 300 people for this year, and they will have 13 high-speed tabulator machines put to use. But she still thinks that it will again be after midnight when these results are ultimately reported. I asked her what her expectations are for the number of absentee ballots cast in Milwaukee this year and what time they might be reported on election night. Here's what she said.
It's hard to say. I am a risk-averse person, so it's hard for me to estimate, especially being newly appointed. However, what I can tell you is that prior to 2020, absentee voting was there. It's been trending upward, right? And then we had the giant blip and during the pandemic, and the numbers have come down, but they're still trending upward. And so based upon what we're seeing now, we're making a high estimate of about 80,000 ballots for this election. So you know that the governor's race was about 66,000 and the pandemic presidential was about 176,000. We're kind of doing it in the middle. So,
So on November 5th or into the wee hours on November 6th, you should know two things. First, you should know that the results from tens of thousands of absentee ballots from Milwaukee will be reported all at once. This is the process that state lawmakers have allowed for. Election workers will begin counting the ballots at 7 a.m. on election day, and the results will be reported once all the votes are counted. Second, you should know that the Wisconsin State Legislature had every opportunity to reform this process over the last 4 years, and even passed a bipartisan bill through the Assembly to do so about a year ago, but it did not pass and become law because of a few Republicans in the state Senate. So now, we're back to the same process we had 4 years ago. Hopefully, for this year, there will be a better understanding of how this all works, and there won't be as many conspiracy-laden accusations leveled at the city of Milwaukee and on election workers who are just doing their job in accordance with state law. And for future years, let's hope we can build on this level of bipartisan cooperation and get something done to improve this process. But for now, we can expect another late night of reporting election results from absentee ballots in the city of Milwaukee for the 2024 presidential election.
That is Civic Media's political editor Dan Schaefer and Paulina Gutierrez, the executive director of the Milwaukee Elections Commission. We are about 11 minutes away from the polls closing. If you're in line, stay in line. You can still cast your ballot. Our coverage continues. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to New, NordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you. New Nordic.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Woman pleads guilty to trying to smuggle 29 turtles across a lake in Vermont into Canada by kayak so they could eventually be sold in Hong Kong.
So they could vote illegally in November.
Stop box turtles from voting. She's facing 10 years in prison.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. This is Civic Media's special coverage of Wisconsin Decides 2024. Once again, Jane Matinair and Pete Schwaba.
Welcome back to Civic Media's extended coverage of the 2024 election. I am Pete Schwaba, along with my co-host here, Jane Matinair. We are going to pop out to Lisa Hale quickly, who is the Republican candidate for the 8th Congressional District, Tony Weed's Watch Party. Let's check in with Lisa. Lisa, how's it going?
It's going very well. It's very busy and very loud here, so I hope you can hear me okay.
Yeah. Are people starting to file in?
Starting to file in, my gosh. We've got about four dozen inside the main ballroom where we're set up, and then I'd say another four to five dozen more outside kneeling in the bar area here at the Legacy Hotel. So it is definitely hopping and definitely filling up at this point.
Lisa, your connection is not great, but we will be checking in with you a little bit later on. Lisa Hale from Civic Media at Tony Weed's Watch Party. Again, thank you, Lisa. We will check back in with you after 8 o'clock. Speaking of, we are 7-8 minutes away from 8 o'clock. If you are standing in line, don't leave the line. If you're standing in line at 8 o'clock, you will still have the opportunity to cast your ballot. Every ballot gets counted. If you have a kid who is attending college and you know they're standing in line, text them and tell them not to leave the line. If they're in line at 8 o'clock, they can still cast their ballots. Thomas Jefferson once said, "We don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority who participate." As we wait for the polls to close here, Civic Media correspondent Catherine Lake was out on State Street in Madison finding out why folks voted this year in 2024.
What's your first name?
Tate.
Tate, you're here out to vote here today.
I am.
Was there any candidate or issue that you came out to, that you were motivated to come out to vote for?
I think mainly the senator and presidential elections, obviously. I mean, it's a very pivotal time. We experienced the Trump presidency already. We saw what happened with that. It's just scary for some of my friends. I have a lot of friends who, you know, are women, and abortion's a very big concern, and the Supreme Court, obviously, if we want to kind of keep that, not more Republican justices who are going to try and take that right away from women. And then mainly for the senator election, I mean, Eric Hovde is not particularly from Wisconsin, really. So, yeah.
What's your first name?
Sarah.
Sarah, you came out to vote today. Is there any particular candidate or an issue that brought you out?
I'm here for Harris and here for Walz. And I don't like to think that I'm a single issue voter. I do like to consider all of the issues, but I worked at an abortion clinic for 6 years. I was a counselor and I worked in procedure. And so I know a woman's right to choose and to own her body is not just important to me, but it's important to the woman I spoke to and the woman here in this country and the whole world, really.
I just started following you guys because of the recombobulation area. So.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Exactly.
Do you guys want to talk to the media?
No, yeah, I do.
Okay,
so she's out. Do you want to talk to the media?
You don't? All right. Okay, you're in.
What do I say?
Well, she's gonna ask a
I'll have a question for you. Is there any particular issue or person, candidate, that you want to vote for or against? Or is there anything that's really motivating you to vote?
Kamala. I want to vote for Kamala.
You do? Mm-hmm. Tell me more. Why do you like Kamala?
Well, I think her ideas are awesome. And I think she's better than the other choices. I just think she would make the best president of the presidents on the ballot.
How about you, Mom?
Yeah, I'm voting for Kamala. Across the board, I like her approach for respect. I like her focus on reproductive rights. I think she's going to do the best for climate change and taking care of the world we're in.
Is there any main issue or a candidate that has driven you, motivated you to vote today?
I think mostly abortion rights has been like my biggest focus and just like women having their own body autonomy.
Do you feel that your vote today has the potential to bring about the change you want to see in your community or your country?
Yeah, definitely. I think every individual has that responsibility to come and vote, and every vote makes a difference.
Access to affordable health care has been a hot topic in Wisconsin. Did health care policies play a role in your...
Yeah, definitely. I'm someone who grew up pretty poor, and we didn't have a lot of access to health care and things like that, so it's definitely a big issue for me now being an adult and going to vote and, like, wanting that for not only me, but, like, generations to come.
Civic media correspondent Catherine Lake out on State Street in Madison talking to folks about why they're voting, and I think talking to including a young potential up-and-coming voter
right.
who will eventually be casting a ballot. Our election night coverage will continue here on Civic Media. How are you feeling about things?
I mean, this has been fun, but I wish I could say there's really no change from when we came on the air in terms of outcome yet. So we just have to wait, and that's frustrating.
It is frustrating. Along with Wisconsin closing the polls at 8 o'clock, are also Michigan and Arizona, two very, very important states. So we're going to have our coverage continuing, stepping into our seats will be the incomparable Todd Alba and Pat Kreitlow will be taking over. They're going to have updates with other swing states, and they will talk about this year's electorate. And, of course, we have civic media news correspondents all over the states with the Lyerly campaign, with the Cook campaign, also the Derek Van Orden group, and also Tony Weed. So we will have all of the updates that you need as the evening continues. 3 minutes till 8 o'clock, 2.5 minutes till 8 o'clock. If you're standing in line,
stay there.
Don't leave the line. If you're standing in line at 8 o'clock, you still get to cast your ballot. Your vote will be counted. Every vote gets counted. That's why we live in America.
Ideally.
Ideally.
Stay put if you're in line. Absolutely.
Stay put if you're in line and stay with us for our continuing civic media coverage right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us. Stay close. Todd and Pat are coming up next.
From the center, WRCE. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll look back at the vote totals, give you updates, and have our news team from around the state join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Usinger's has been making America's finest sausage for over 140 years. Now Usinger's fresh brats are flash frozen and vacuum packed so they stay butcher shop fresh for 6 months in your freezer. And because there's no air in the package, there's no need for chemical preservatives. Usinger's fresh brats are the freshest, most additive-free you will find. Enjoy some this summer with our other Great Link products. Our VacPack sausage seals in flavor and leaves out chemicals. Remember, if it's got the elf on the label, you've got quality on your table.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.